Yeah, I got a foot of snow last night, but today it's been
warm, melting, and there's supposed to be another snowstorm on its way in. So, thank you, Annie, and you all are so brave to try to do that, what you were trying to do, the having both of you on and doing that interview with TJ. I hope we get the technology worked out. I hope to hear him again. And let's see. I wanted today to speak a little more about the mind, because that's always the transformation that we're speaking about, is the transformation from believing that we are identified with a body, confined with a body, living in a body, which the Course tells us the body is nothing. It has is completely neutral. It's like a puppet. It has no mind of its own. It does only what the mind tells it to do. So obviously it is very, very important to learn that we are minds and not a body. I picked a few choice quotes from the Course regarding that matter. The first one is from Lesson 158. What has been given you? The knowledge that you are a mind, small m, mind, in mind, capital M, mind, and purely mind, sinless forever, wholly unafraid, because you were created out of love. This was given you as knowledge, which you cannot lose, and it was given as well to every living thing, for by that knowledge only does it live. And another from chapter 18. There is nothing outside you. That is what you must ultimately learn. For it is the realization that the kingdom of heaven is restored to you. And from page 104 in the text, everything is accomplished through life, and life is in the mind and of the mind. So important to know that the Course is written to us as a decision-making mind, not as a body, not as a person in a dream, which is the puppet. The person in the dream is the puppet. And the important thing is to know who rules the mind. Is it the ego or is it the Holy Spirit? Is it the ego or is it the Holy Spirit? Who, in other words, is our beloved? Who is it we devote our life to? Is it the ego? And if it is, then that's all we'll hear, is the voice of the ego. And all we will have is special relationships. That's how we will see all of our relationships, dependent upon which voice we choose. So if it's the ego again, all we can have is special relationships. Each relationship is an outpicturing of that one beloved. And that one beloved would be the ego. If we believe in a world outside of ourselves and we're giving value to that world, then that is the world the ego sees. The other option, of course, is Jesus or the Holy Spirit. And that decision leads us out of the dream that decision shows us that what we thought was real is not, that we thought what we thought our brother did to us has not occurred, that the problem we thought we had is not there. Jesus says, don't ask me to take your fear away. You made it. You believe in it. I don't. Follow me. Follow me, and I will show you that the problem itself is not real. The problem itself does not exist. So in this process, and it is a process, of joining minds with Jesus, of letting him lead us out of the dream, letting him take us home, it requires that we let go of our special relationships. Of first of all, we learn to use them as the classroom to show us whether we have chosen the ego or whether we have chosen the Holy Spirit. So that would be the right use of our relationships, to let them be our classroom for turning to Jesus with our problems in the dream, bringing those problems to him, recognizing we're never upset for the reason we think. We're not upset because of what our brother did to us. We're not upset because of our problems, or because we lost our job, or whatever else didn't work out for us today. We're not upset for that reason. We're upset because we've been following the wrong teacher, because we've chosen the wrong teacher. And the world is showing us always which teacher we have chosen. So in order to make this change, we need to reactivate that decision-making mind, the chooser, so that we can choose again. And it isn't... I remember when I first started working with A Course in Miracles, and there were no groups. This was 1976. There were no groups that I knew of. And the way I would work with the Course would be to ask Jesus for help. I would read something and I didn't understand what it said a lot of the time. And I would take my lack of understanding or my confusion and or my defense against hearing it, and I would take it to Jesus and I would ask for help in seeing it, seeing what he was getting at. And I used to call that going to his country, joining him where he is. And the Course became that for me as well. It's a devotion of a sort, of letting us, letting Jesus, letting the words, not just to take us to the words and understanding the words, but to take us to where the words are coming from. And that requires, to my way of thinking, that requires devotion. It requires truly wanting to be led and coming to a place where I know nothing. I have no idea how to see differently. I have no idea how to forgive. I have no idea what it's like to experience oneness, joined as one, as Jesus says. A oneness joined as one. He said, it's impossible for you to know here in the body what that is. But it is possible for you to let me show you what love can bring to your perception of the world. If you give me that opportunity, I will show you the love that I see the world with. I will show you your brother as I see him, so that you will have the experience, the deep experience of where I'm taking you, just a taste of where I'm taking you. And that I call true intimacy. We must develop that intimacy within ourselves. The intimacy that we experience with our brothers comes after we allow the Course to take us to that love, or we allow Jesus to take us to the love that he wants to share with us. And he represents that perfect love. Helen, in her scribing of the Course, joined with that perfect love that was Jesus, symbolized by Jesus. But she went past that. You'd have to go past that to tune into that love, to go to, again, his country or the Course's country, to go beyond the form, meaning the Course in Miracles is a form. Jesus, the way we hold him, is a form, is a symbol. But we must go beyond the symbols to where those symbols are coming from. So we get closer and closer to that love by noticing how we are in our relationships with our brothers, and noticing how we are in our relationship with Jesus, as we become more and more intimate. We get closer. We no longer have the ego interference between ourselves and our brother. We no longer have the ego interference between ourselves and Jesus. So there's perfection here, and we have to want that perfection. I think it's in the teacher's manual where it says that the teachers of God are not perfect, or they would not be here. But it is their function to become perfect while they are here. So that would be our function. Again, I want to say that the purpose of our relationships with other bodies is simply to let them reflect to us our ego when it arises, so that we can let that be undone, and to let Jesus teach us the love that we can share with not that specific brother that's standing in front of us, not with, but with the love that Jesus is taking us to. And then that love would embrace all brothers without exception. It would embrace the dream without exception. So this is total. The Course is total. You'll understand love totally or not at all. Jesus asks us in the Course to bring everything to Him, and that would also be a reflection of a relationship with a beloved. You know, when we think in terms of human love, we think of it as being with somebody that we can share everything with. But we know how soon, because those special love relationships are all reflections of the ego's neediness and of its attempt to fill its emptiness and neediness by looking outside for love and grasping for love and stealing it, as Jesus says, from someone that appears to be outside, rather than turning within and having our true beloved be the teacher of love. And He invites us in the same way that we would dream of in our fantasies of a beloved in the dream. He invites us to bring absolutely everything to Him and give it to Him, share it with Him. Our painful pleasures and our hates and all of it, and bring it to Him. And to be willing to release our brothers from those projections so that ultimately that love that is in our minds, that love that we are sharing with the beloved, we are connecting with that love in all of our brothers. Again, it's in the mind. Always, always in the mind. It makes us wonder what insistent upon being these bodies and dragging them around with us and making love such a complicated and difficult thing when we're trying to get it. It reminds me of an image that I've been reading Roman philosophers lately, Marcus Aurelius and his teacher Epictetus. And Epictetus could have been friends with Jesus for all we know, but he said, we are minds dragging around a corpse. When we think of that imagery, it really makes us wonder why we hang on to this. Of course, our belief in sacrifice is enormous because we actually do believe that we are persons in the dream, and that and it will be a huge sacrifice to let go of something that never existed. That's the funny part. You know, we just don't understand that what we think we are and what we think our brothers are has never existed. It's a reflection of the ego's fantasy and turning away from God and then having to make a world to hide in, and then feeling desperately needy and lacking, turning outside to other special objects outside of us that we put out there to attempt to get love from. So we must develop this intimacy within ourselves. And it starts out with Jesus in the Course, or any other symbol that you have that represents perfect love. It doesn't matter what that symbol would be, but it must be a symbol of perfect love. And then we just share everything that becomes our beloved. And in making that decision, it ups the ante for us. It makes us more aware when we are looking outside or looking to someone else, looking to something else, some special relationship, some situation, circumstances, activities that we think are going to give us the love. It will up the ante of recognizing when we do that, so that we can once again understand what we're up to. And we're literally saying, oh, I want to be a body in the dream, and this is nowhere and nothing. Is this really what I want? Do I want to continue to be a mind dragging around a corpse? Or do you really want to wake up to the fact that I am a mind, a decision-making mind? So what changes is nothing outside of us. We know that. The world doesn't change. People don't change. What changes is our perception by changing the source of our love. The source of our love is beyond anything of the finite, of the world. And Jesus is the teacher of that love. I would like to spend, let's see. When we realize that everything is in the mind, and we're willing to play at that level, then we use the entire world. We realize we don't need to walk out on people in our lives and leave relationships and leave jobs and leave countries and, you know, always go somewhere else, go somewhere else, go somewhere else, because the focus shifts to the from the external to the internal, because we want this inner relationship and the more intimate we become with that, the more we our blocks begin to fall away. So all of everything outside becomes our classroom. So I wanted to close with some of Lesson 189, which is really the classic let go of the world lesson. I feel the love of God within me now. And it has the often repeated, simply do this, which invites us really to let go for a moment at least of everything outside and go within and let ourselves be led to the love of God by taking Jesus' hand and by letting go of the world, turning away from the world for a moment and giving full devotion to our teacher of love. So here we are for the last 6 or 7 minutes. I'll read a little bit of the preface. What would you see? What would you see? What would you like to see? The choice is given you. But learn and do not let your mind forget this law of seeing. You will look upon that which you feel within. That which you feel within. You will look upon what you feel within. If hatred finds a place within your heart, in other words, if the ego is in charge of your mind, you will perceive a fearful world held cruelly in death's sharp pointed bony fingers. That's quite an image. And if you feel the love of God within you, you will look out on a world of mercy and of love. Today we will pass illusions as we seek to reach to what is true in us and feel its all-embracing tenderness, its love, which knows us perfect as itself, and to which it carries us. For its simplicity avoids the snares, the foolish convolutions of the world's apparent reasoning, but serve to hide. So simply do this. Be still. Lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what you think God is. All the concepts you've learned about the world, all the images you've learned and hold about yourself. Empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false, or good or bad, of every thought it judges worthy, and all the ideas of which it is ashamed. Hold on to nothing. Do not bring with you one thought the past has taught, nor one belief you ever learned before from anything. Forget this world. Forget this course, and come with holy, empty hands unto your God. Is it not He who knows the way to you? You do not need to know the way to Him. Your part is simply to allow all the obstacles that you have interposed between the Son and God the Father to be quietly removed forever. God will do His part in joyful and immediate response. Ask and receive. But do not make demands, nor point the road to God by which you think He should appear to you. The way to reach Him is merely to let Him be. For in that way is your reality proclaimed as well. And so today we do not choose the way in which we go to Him. But we do choose to let Him come. And with this choice, we rest. In our quiet hearts and our open minds, His love will blaze a pathway of itself. What has not been denied is surely there, if it be true, and it can be surely reached. He does not need His Son to show Him how to find His way. Through every open door, His love shines outward from its home within, and it lightens up the world in innocence. Father, we do not know the way to You, but You have called, and You have answered us. We will not interfere. Salvation's ways are not our own, for they belong to You, and it is unto You we look for them. Our hands are open to receive Your gifts. We have no thoughts we think apart from You, and we cherish no beliefs of what we are or who created us. And we ask but that Your will, which is our own as well, be done in us and in the world, that it become a part of heaven now. Amen. So this is a humble plea to us, in a sense, to be willing to be wrong about the whole thing, wrong about the world, wrong about there being a world at all, about there being other bodies and people out there, of there being private thoughts and a private will, just to be totally mistaken for just an instant, so that we can be led out of the world to the love that we are, where there's no place that the Father ends and the Son begins. That love that we are, that can emanate through us and bless the world, bless everyone. God bless us all. Thank you so much for this lovely time and opportunity to remember, out of a busy day, to be able to take a half hour, even a few minutes, and remember. Thank you so much. Sweet dreams, everyone.